call on Brother Daniel Wojcik to speak. And the as was mentioned earlier by Brother Daniel, we have an international contingent. Brother Daniel is from France, near Paris. And so we look forward to his discourse here, The Parable of the Talents. Brother Daniel.
First of all, I would like to thank the Vancouver class that they invited me at this convention. And Sister Arlene and me, we are very happy to participate at your convention. Sorry, perhaps for my pronunciation, it's not so good in English. But try to speak French, you will see how hard is it. We thank also our Heavenly Father that helped us to arrive without trouble here at this convention. I sent you greetings from our convention 3 weeks ago. We had a convention in Vigy. It was Eastern France. And all the brethren know that we will come here to the convention, and they sent their love to all the convention here. You have also the greeting of our class, which is not far away from Paris in La Morlaix. And also from one family, the Boulier family, you remember perhaps 9 years ago, they traveled with us here. We were in Vancouver. So they sent the greeting by Psalm 100. I would like to share with you one parable of the talents. The parable of the talents was the last announced by our Lord before his death. Let us read this parable written in Matthew 25, 14 to 30. For it is like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possession to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled an account with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter in the joy of your master. After the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joys of your master. And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid. I went away and hid your talents in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he has, does have, shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I am sure that each one of us can give an interpretation to this word. But in fact, the fact that this was teaching was given in parable and not in explicit way, clear or direct, seemed to tell us that a major teaching is hidden certainly under this word and not easy to realize. Why our Lord spoke in parable? Let's remember the question asked by Apostle to the Lord. Why speakest thou unto them in parable? Matthew 13:13. What is his answer? Therefore speaks I to them in parable, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Surprising. To give a teaching so that those who hear, who listen, do not see and understand. That this teaching was not thus to be understood by the Pharisees or the people in general. But for who these words have been pronounced? In Matthew 13:11. And he answered and said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But whosoever has not, from his shall be taken away, even that which he has. This answer was given, whereas Jesus taught to the people the parable of the sower, and the ground proclaimed to them. These parables are those for those who, with the assistance of the Spirit of God, prompt the death of the teaching of Christ. We can see the similarity of the answer of our Lord to the disciples with the statement of the last parable. Whosoever has, to him shall be given, but whosoever has not, from it shall be taken away. Which teaching the Lord wants give to us? At first sight, this parable seems very easy. A man has goods, and he charges some people, its servant, to manage its goods. These goods are represented by talents. He thus distributes his goods to them by giving to each one a different quantity according to the capacities of each one, and he left. Did he give any recommendation before its departure? In this parable, it's not written. He distributed its talent and left. On the other hand, it is written that at his return, he asked account to each one of its servants. Not with one servant, with two servants, but with all those who were to this service. There was no exception. Let's analyze what are the talents. Who is the master who distributed his talents? Who is the servants? Which are the distributed talents? What justifies the first two servants to bear fruit with their talents? And what justifies the third one to bury his talents? And at the end, we will see what lesson we should learn. What are the talents mentioned in this parable? In this illustration, the Lord used the talent. The talent was a unit of weight. Each talent thus represented a weight, a value, a quantity of money. The unit of weight at this time were the cycle, the mine, and the talent. According to the biblical dictionary, a mine is worth approximately 50 cycles, and the talent will be of 3,000 cycles, representing a weight of approximately 50 kilos. The currency of this time was the denarius, the shilling, or drachma, the shekel, or 4 drachma, the penny, or phrasing the min and the talent. The talent considered as money has a value of 6,000 denarius. However, if we remember the parable of the workmen at the last hour, where all the workmen were paid, how many? 1 denarius per day. From these wages paid to the workmen, we can understand that the distributed talents represent a fortune. 6,000 working days, so about 20 years of wages. Let's us go in the context of this parable. A small fortune was distributed to each servant, and those must manage his fortune. Let's us try to see what the Lord wanted to express by this parable. Who is the master who distributed the talents? In verse 14, for a man going into another country called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. There is no doubt that this man represents our Lord Jesus, who came on earth, gave his life in ransom, and left for a voyage. Our Lord left to the heaven to join his Father, to present his sacrifice, and to be invested in the royal authority. He obtained the reward which was promised to him by achieving the will of God. The idea of a voyage let's suggest of a relatively long absence, because for this period he didn't leave his good without monitoring, but he distributed them to his servant. For this period, this man did not manage himself his good, but instruct his servants to manage them. The fact that the master did not leave his talents, his goods, without monitoring show us a value, the importance of this good, but also the confidence that this master had to his servants. If we had such a fortune, and if he must leave during years, to who would we leave them to manage? Don't we will seek for people in who we are confident? Who are the servants? It is not told that he distributed his good to any person, to hazardous person, or any person in the city, but only to his servants. This precision informs us that it is not all the mankind who, during the Lord's absence, during the gospel age, has the possibility of working or bearing master goods, but it's only to a small part of people who have discharge the servants. What a servant? A servant is a person who puts himself at the service of the master, at the disposal of the person who engages him and who remunerates him. A servant is a workman who agrees to make this function. It is not constrained, but voluntary, to carry out the work. A servant can be regarded as the voluntary slave of his master. The servant represents all consecrated during the gospel age, all those who want to become disciples of the master during his absence. All those are committed to serve the master, and who will engage, make that the master has the right to claim an honest, sincere service. The master requires that each servant must be full of interest for this work. Let us not forget that the Lord does not force anybody during the gospel age to becoming his servant. They are all volunteers, and none of them should feel forced to achieve the task which is entrusted to him. The fact that three servants took part in this division seems to indicate that the number of the elected is counted. It is not unlimited, but restricted. His servants thus receive a task to manage the talent, the good of their master. Which are the talents distributed? The talents, as we saw, represented a quantity of money. The word talents has changed the meaning. It doesn't represent more one quantity of money, but a quality, a faculty or a gift, all that gives a value to a man. It is extremely probable that the new meaning of talents comes from the parable said by our Lord. If we are all equal in front of the law, we are all different, one from the other. We look differently, physically, differently by our character, by our behavior, by our reaction. This is completely normal. Apostle Paul defined the body of Christ very well while defining in the letter of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 31, the bonds which link all the members of a body, members of the body of Christ, by specifying what? The differences, the own position, or the complementarity. The need for all the members knowing that nobody can say, I don't need you, because all the members are necessary to that this body is complete. The lesson that we must draw from that is that we should not seek obligatory, so the others are like us, so that they react like us, that they think like us, that they act like us. That is not possible. Each member has his own qualities. The eighth has a rule that the ear does not have, and reciprocally. The arm has a function that the foot does not have, and reciprocally. It is the same for each member of our body. And yet, is it not that thing that disturb us? Are we not ready to criticize the other because they are not like us? That they don't have the same center of interest as us? That they don't have the same feeling as us? In fact, that they do not have the same talent as us? Perhaps we should ask the question, why I am different from the other? Why I am not able to act, perhaps to react, like the other, when those make good? Why I see only the only evil that the other make, whereas I do not see the 99 things good the same people do? Unfortunately, it is the man nature to act as the Lord explained, that we see the straw in the eyes of our neighbor, but we don't see the beam which is in us. And in fact, it is on this point that we must work. What we must do is to look in us and in our friend, what are the talents that each one has, knowing that each person obtains different talents in type and in quantity. If you look around you, make the experience. You should find in each brother, each sister, a particular quality, especially a quality that you have, yourself, you do not have. In fact, wanting to observe the talents of the other or ours, let us look on quality of each person and not on her defect. If we cannot see the other quality and in the contrary we find only defect, question, there are very strong chances that pride of selfishness invited us. Let us not forget that the principal work that we have to make before serving the Master is working on ourselves, knowing that we have to fight against the world, the devil, and the flesh. Our objective should be to seek the talents, to seek all qualities which were distributed by the Lord, and to make them bear fruit. These talents we have, them in us, but we must put them to the service of the Lord. Which are the talents? If I asked you to quote the distributed talents, the talents which we should make bear fruit, talents that you have, which are those which appear more important to you? Time, health, influence, intellectual power, education, money, intelligence, hospitality, obliginess, softness. In fact, they are all qualities which enable us to develop ourselves, which can help us strengthen, build, and comfort. It's certain that no one of us has all these qualities, but what we have, let us put them at the service Master. In this parable, the Lord gave to the first five talents to the other two and the third one. It's extremely probable that the Lord gave the talents according to the capacity of each servant. In fact, the natural talents that we have, those which nature gives us, which we inherited from our parents, we must put them at the service of the Master because we decide to give all of them to Him, to sacrifice them to Him. All our faculties should be used to the service of the Master. We can refer to the quality mentioned by Paul Apostle in Galatians 2:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. All these qualifiers are materialization of the talent distributed by the Lord. What motivated the first two servants to develop the goods? Let us read again the report made by the first servitors in 20 and 21st verse. And he that received the five talents came and brought other the five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliver unto me five talents, I have gained other five talents. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant, you have been faithful over a few things, I will set thee over many things, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. It was the same for the second servant. What justifies these two servants? There is no doubt that it is the love of the Master, fidelity, the realization of their wish, not during one day, not for a week, for a month, one year, but during all their life until death. What is significant to note is that in these two cases, they presented the double of talents that imply that the fact of serving the Master to take care of the talents must enable us to improve and to increase all our capacities. It seems that this servant developed all the talents, not partially. They did not work with some of their talent, but with all their faculties. It is exactly what the Lord asks from us. To be at master service means to walk on the narrow way, way thorny, difficult, with obstacles. But to be able to remain on this way, effort should be obligatory by provided. It is obligatory, necessary to go up, to climb, progress. It is not an easy thing. I remember the comparison made by my dad in one of his talks between the Christian and the barges. When he had been in Alsace, in the France, in the French region, he had seen on the Rhine, the French river, two barges. One which went up the Rhine against the current, and the other with the current. The one which flowed with the current did not make any noise. It seems that the engine were stopped, but the bars progressed very fast. Whereas the other, which went up against the current, provided an incredible effort. The engine turned very fast, and in spite of that, the bars progressed very slowly. The image of the barge, which flew against the current, illustrates perfectly the effort that a Christian must provide to progress. Can he stop the engine? In your opinion, what would occur if you could the barge engines which flew against the current? Immediately, it will go into reverse. To even want to remain in place requires what? An effort? An effort to compensate the river current. That is the permanent work which must be provided by the servant if they want the talents may bear fruit. Writing, Apostle Paul incited us to offer our bodies like an alive sacrifice in the letter of Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your body in living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, your spiritual service. As a living sacrifice, that means which produces fruits, which progresses, which is active. The Bible mentions us many examples of people who make their talents bear fruits, which by their behavior proves they put their talents, their goods, all that they like to the service of the Lord. They are not only extraordinary things, but gestures made with love and zeal. The widow who threw in the trunk two small coins, or they all did cast in of their superfluity, but she of her one did cast in all that she had, all her living. For the example, Mary of Magdala, which owned feet of Jesus with a perfume of a high price, in Matthew 26:6-13. Verily I say unto you, wherever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, that also which the woman has done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. The apostles left all their occupation to follow the Master. All the Bibles show us the sacrifice carried out by all the prophets, all the men of God, all the trusted servants, and we must take example of all those who obtain Lord approval. Let us see the third servant now. What justifies the last to bury its talent? The answer given by the servant was, and he also that has received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that you are a hard man, reaping where you didn't sow, and gathering where you didn't scatter. And I was afraid. I went away and hid the talent in the earth, thou art thine own. But his Lord answered and said unto him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knewest that I reap where I sow not, I gather where I did not scatter. You oughtest therefore to have put my money to the bankers, and at my coming I will have received back mine own with interest. Take ye away therefore the talent from him, and give unto him that has the 10 talents. For unto every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not, even that which he has been taken away. And he cast he out the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This part of the parable should push us to reflect on the condition of this servant. He was a servant. He was no matter who. He was not a person of outside. And he was a servant like the two others. He had agreed to work for this master. For us, that should be a very serious warning. Because among those who make the vow of consecration, some will be condemned by the master. Let us not be one of those. I believe that each one of us, in our heart, we should answer at this question. What do I make with what the Lord gives me? There is not only big thing to do. Serving the Lord does not mean only preaching gospel, make speeches, lead meeting. These are talents. But there are a lot of other talents that every servant can do. Remember, Mary of Magdala. Let us, each of us should analyze themselves and look at how many of these talents, of his capacity, of his opportunity he put at Lord's service. That is not easy to criticize, to analyze themselves, because sometimes we bury some of our talents and we make as we didn't have them. It is the easiest way, but there is a warning. Ask yourself, which are my talents? Example, there is a convention. I am tired. I must stay at home. On a chair all the day to stay, I prefer remain home. There is a burial. It's far away. I do not want to go there. And some brethren life very close, we find always a pretext not to go there. It is necessary to organize a meeting. Well, we can organize in my home, but it's necessary to prepare the room, to install chairs. The brother will dirty. Perhaps it will rain, it will be necessary to clean. Let the other do. There is a brother pilgrim. I would like to invite him, but the meal, the bedroom should be prepared. It is necessary to hold permanently company to him. All the brethren have the practice. Let them to take care of them. Or I can type on the computer. But I prefer not to propose myself because 1,000 valid reasons. It is necessary to prepare the meal for the convention or to arrange the chairs, to prepare, to sweep. It is incredible how much idea comes us to mind to let the other make. I am not organizing a convention. They organize. I am in a hurry of return. They are so much accustomed to do that. As Christian, I should act in some way. I should react calmly. I should be an example. My neighborhood should give a good testimony. But here nobody knows me, so I can do what I want. Or it is necessary to visit a brother or sister who is sick. I have time. I will be able to do something. But if I engage, I will be necessary to do that permanently. Or it is necessary to help a brother to drive him. But the list is not exhaustive. Each of us can give thousands of examples. What is significant is to become aware of our responsibility. Let us careful, because sometimes not only we don't make bear fruit, our talents, but we prevent the other from making bear fruits. In his parable, the Lord used an example, the third servant, who has only one talent. But everyone who is at Lord's service must use all his opportunity, not one, not two, but all. The Lord did not use the servant who received five talents like example of inaccuracy, because that one could say, I have too much to do, I cannot do everything. But the one who had only one talent, which tends to say, I can do nothing, my capacities are so limited that I prefer to remain in my small room. Warning. Let us take the example of a person in the Bible who didn't react as they should. Ananias and Sapphira. Certainly they were permanently with the brethren, certainly well considered. They have sacrificed their goods, and yet they were punished by death. Apparently, they said that they gave the full price of the land, but secretly, they kept part of the sale. Very easy to condemn them. We accept this sentence. But what lesson for us? Did we sacrifice all our life? Did we have made the vow to give all to the Lord? But actually, how much of our time we withdraw from the altar? Aren't we often Ananias and Sapphira? Let's meditate on that story. The parable of the young rich person. It had a talent, a big talent, richness, but the richness he did not want to make it be a fruit for God, but only for its own pleasure. Which lesson can we use, we learn from this parable? The lesson of this parable should be for us a warning and an encouragement. But how to know if may be a fruit my talents? How to know if I do not bury some of my talents? To answer to, we must answer at this question. Do you provide a regular and permanent effort? Or we let ourselves going sometimes? Do we use all our capacity to help the brethren, to walk in the land of the Lord, to straighten those who suffer, to comfort those who have problems? Or are we indifferent? Do we imply ourselves in the work as much as we can? Or we leave the other acting, finding that the others are increasingly more qualified, like washing our hands? It's a fact that we should always regard the other as superior to us, but in no case we should neglect our obligation in the work. But in that case, what about humility? We must be humble. Humility is a good quality, but doing nothing, neglecting our duty, cannot be regarded as humility, but can be a sign that we bury the talents that we receive. Are we more prone to seek the reason which justifies such or such brother to act as in a certain way? Or our reaction is only to criticize without looking for the reason? It is impossible to remain upright on this way if we let ourselves go, if we let act our old nature, if we let our instinct to react. Let's don't forget this comparison made between our will and the balloon in the water. This one must be immersed permanently. That requires from us a permanent effort. Our will must be the same in the same way, but under high monitoring and not left free to act with its own way. So, at the end, what we can say, everyone should try to improve the talent, to use all these talents for the service of the Lord. And at the end, so we'll be able to understand the word of our Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant, who has been faithful over a few things, I will set thee over many things, enter thou in the joys of the Lord. So I would wish for each of us. Thank you. coming.